With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Michigan football is 2-0 after another dominant effort, this time against UNLV. We discuss J.J. McCarthy's incredible performance and break down everything you need to know from the game coming up on Wolverine Confidential. Okay, guys, going to be talking with you here Sunday evening, September 10th, after yesterday's 35-7 win for the Michigan football team over UNLV. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to break down. The defense was really good again, you know, shut out late into the fourth quarter, just like against East Carolina. You know, that game was truly the last play of the game that the shutout went away. You know, this time it was, you know, just under 3 minutes left in the fourth, but either way, very strong. But I think we just have to start with Jonathan James McCarthy, who just had another just awesome game. I mean, I feel like we're seeing a true star, like, you know, coming to be here. Like potential Heisman candidate, 22 of 25, 278 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's now 48 of 55 on the year. That's 87%, which is first in FBS. Yeah, I guess, what did you guys make of the passing game and McCarthy's play?
It was, I don't know how to describe it other than like incredible. Like he was really good again, 22 of 25, like 278, a passer rating of 207.8, which is really hard to do. Completed his first 13 throws, kind of like game one. Like he was out there throwing, dealing. Like there were no issues. It was like he's on the playground, just playing with his friends and in a groove. He played well. I mean, the passing game continues to evolve. I think we talked about it in the build up to the season. Like this offense, the next step for it was J.J. McCarthy and his evolution and just developing more of a passing game. And through two weeks at least, they've done a good job of showing that they have one.
Yeah, I mean, it's really been impressive to see him fit some tight windows and make it look effortless too. It's like going back and rewatching some of the plays. It's like a defender's like reached out their hands and like just barely missed it, and another guy did it too, and then it's right on the money for the Michigan receiver to make the catch. And I mean, he's throwing on the run. He's looking poised in the pocket. I mean, it's hard to weigh too much because, yeah, the competition isn't very good. But, I mean, if he can make these throws against all the Big Ten teams as well, he might be a Heisman finalist because he's playing that well and he's that dialed in at this point. We'll see what happens when there's some teams that are able to maybe generate a little bit more pass rush. For the most part, his pockets have been kept very clean. But, I mean, really, you can't ask for anything more from this passing offense through two games.
There was one throw, I think it was to Cornelius Johnson the first quarter. I think it was on the sideline. Like, yeah. You mentioned him fitting the ball in the tight windows and short little pockets there, and it was perfect. I mean, the defender was right there. He got past him. It was like in the perfect spot for Cornelius to catch the ball. It was really what you asked for from a quarterback and more. I mean, yes, you want him to hit your target. Yes, you want them to hit him in stride, but it was, I mean, any other way, if it would have went another foot right, another foot left, it probably would have been complete or been batted down. And those are the type of throws you need in big moments against big competition. And like you said, yes, it is UNLV. We'll see how he does as the season goes along. But, I mean, you can't ask for much more from the kid right now.
And stepping up and throwing one to Roman Wilson, like literally in stride. Like if he has to turn to catch that, the defensive back is able to catch up to Roman and tackle him, but instead it's literally he does not break stride, catches at full speed, and just blows by the guy and turns upfield for a 47-yard touchdown too. So, yeah, I mean, I did not expect to be talking about how efficient and dominant this passing game has been, and there's been maybe some question marks about the running game through two games.
Yeah, I mean, Zook, you kind of suggested maybe it is a little bit opponent dependent here how well he's been playing, but yeah, like you also both did say, like there are plays where guys are really well covered and it doesn't matter. So I mean, yeah, I guess you get into Big Ten play, there's a little more of a pass rush, yes, some better coverage, some bigger, taller defensive linemen to throw over maybe, but still, that we've seen some plays where the defense seemed to do a really, really good job and it didn't matter. So I don't know. I do feel like he has, you know, he's the five-star recruit. He was the guy that everyone was saying, right? Okay, Jim Harbaugh finally got his guy. Like, this is the guy to do it. And he kind of looks like he's delivering on that hype.
What we've seen the last 2 weeks in JJ, I think, is the result of a confident and like a in-rhythm quarterback, right? Like, this is something where when you're not worried about anything and you're confident in your play and reading defenses and you're in sync with your receivers, this is what it looks like. And that's exactly what it's been. And JJ's looked incredible. He's looks confident. You can tell he's a full year, he's a full year into the system. He knows what he's doing. He says his shoulder's 100% healthy, whereas this point last year wasn't. He's done great.
I guess for me though, like I keep going back to, I think it was the Hawaii game last year when Harbaugh, when he connected on like 5 of 6 deep shots and it was like just dropped dimes, and Harbaugh after the game was like, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback be more accurate on deep balls. And then the rest of the season, the whole narrative was like JJ McCarthy can't hit a deep ball because he was missing guys. So I think he has evolved and gotten better since then. But it's still, I mean, I feel like the competition does play a factor too. When you're in a groove and you know that you're supposed to dominate the competition and you're not going to have an Aiden Hutchinson coming off the edge to come and get you, I think that plays a factor too. But, I mean, really, there's nothing more he could show through these games. I mean, you want him to do what he's doing. To me, let's just wait and see how things shake out when we get into some tougher opponents too.
And that's the thing too, right? Like, they're not throwing a ton of deep balls. If you look at Saturday's game, the longest catch was 26 yards. Many of them were under 20 yards. So it's a lot of short intermediate throws over the middle of the field to kind of get him going, get him confident, get the receivers loose. And then they kind of build on there. It's a different beast from, like you said, last year where they were trying deep shots. Some of them hit, some didn't. They haven't really gotten to that point yet. I'm sure they will at some point, but this, you know, Jim Harbaugh made an interesting comment last week when he was asked about the offense. He kind of said that this is step one in the process. Now, he didn't elaborate on what that meant, and I'm sure it's probably worth a follow-up at some point, but I'm wondering what the next step is with this unit, because right now, of what's been asked of them, they've at least from the passing attack, they've mastered.
I'm glad you guys brought up the deep shots because, yeah, you know, even some of these longer touchdowns, the 47-yarder to Roman Wilson didn't go through the air all that much. You know, it was a lot of running after the catch. And I don't know, JJ had an interesting comment, you know, when he was talking about that play in particular, that, you know, he said he was looking initially thinking he was going to go to Cornelius Johnson on the deep ball. And, you know, he goes, I said to myself, like, nah, you know, not today. Like, those days are behind me. Like, he's, I mean, truly, like, he's this, you know, really veteran, mature quarterback who, nope, there's no need to do that just to do that, just to show off the arm strength. Like, it was tighter coverage. Like, take what's there. And obviously, it still turned into, you know, the maximum play there, touchdown. But yeah, I did find that comment interesting. It seems like maybe he is reeling that back. You know, obviously, very few incompletions and no interceptions so far. But on the other hand, as you guys mentioned, there's the rushing offense. I mean, we're now two games in, and I guess maybe a little better this week, but still, you know, you're just not seeing those big plays, those explosive plays. And it's just because Michigan ended the year with so many of them, right? I mean, you know, it was Corum doing so well, and then he got hurt, and Donovan Edwards came in, and you just think about the highlights at the end of the year with I mean, he started the TCU game with a long run, and obviously the long ones against Ohio State, and you just haven't seen that yet. Concern level 1 out of 10 so far for the rushing game through two games.
Yeah, I don't think it's that high. Just based on what we've seen from the offense so far, they're using the pass to kind of set up the run as opposed to last year when they were using the run to set up the run, right? Like they're running nonstop and that's all they did. So I think there's been a bit of a slow roll with both of these guys. As Blake said last week, like he wasn't hit much or at all in camp. So I think he's still trying to get like his getting in sync with the offensive line, I guess, so to speak. I thought Blake looked a lot better on Saturday. Yes, he had 15 carries, 80 yards, 3 touchdowns. Longest one was only 19 yards, but I mean, he was averaging 5 yards a carry. He was picking up enough of what they needed. I think the bigger concern for me, alarm bell, is Donovan Edwards, right? Like he's been known as this home run hitter. He ended the year strong despite playing through injuries, and we just haven't seen the home run hit yet. I'm sure it'll come at some point, but no matter what they do, you know, they gave him the ball a couple times, first downs on Saturday. He barely could pick up any yardage. Even when they threw him the ball a ton, I think he had one catch for 15 yards. The rest of the stuff was again, for minimal gain. So I think they need to get him going more. Again, I don't know if it's him getting used to the offensive line. I do think there's some concern with the run blocking up front. I will say I think they did block a little bit better on Saturday. I mean, I thought Blake did a decent job. So if Blake gets through some of those holes, I think Donovan should be able to too. So I think it improved. I don't think it's where they want it to be. They got some work to do in that area. And I think right now that's the missing link of this offense, right? If this is going to be an elite attack, both sides running and passing, I think they got to get the offensive line going and Donovan especially.
And you, Aaron mentioned the home runs, and it's like for Donovan to be effective, he doesn't need to be hitting home runs, but like, I mean, just slice and dice your way and grind out a few extra yards on carries where you are hit at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I feel like that's what you want to see out of him. He's not a small back. He has that power and strength in him, but we just haven't seen that at this point. I think, yeah, those home run hits are always nice and show up on the highlight reels, but I mean, your average yards per carry, those extra 1-2 yards of the stretching out or pushing through for an extra yard or two. I mean, those add up over the course of the season. I don't feel like we've seen that just yet from Donovan.
Yeah. I mean, there's it is very interesting. It's been interesting to hear them talk about their own games as well and kind of where they feel they are right now and where they think they can be. But again, I mean, the offense is it's all like now can't get the Harbaugh's term "we fence" out of my head. I mean, they are, it is all one team and they're winning games handily. So at the end of the day, they're getting the job done, but will be interesting to see how the rush offense looks going forward.
Yeah. I'm sure Donovan wasn't happy when he checked at halftime for his stats again this week, cause they weren't pretty.
Yeah. Okay. On the defensive side, we were talking about leading into this game, you know, kind of wanted to see maybe some more pass rush from Michigan. They had 0 sacks in their opener and they delivered. They got pressure on the quarterback kind of throughout the game, ended up with 5 sacks. I'm thinking about that was one of our preseason questions that we guessed who would be the sack leader. One of you said Jalen Harrell and one of you said Derek Moore. Yes. Is that?
Yep. Okay. That was Derek Moore. Yeah.
All right, and they each got on the board yesterday, as did my guy Chris Jenkins. I was worried he's going to get maybe completely shut out, but yes, they all got one, or at least a piece of one, on Saturday. Yeah, well, I guess what did you see from the group up front, and I guess the defense in general?
Much better. And again, part of it is I think the offense, that the scheme that UNLV runs, the quarterback was playing on the ball a little bit longer than East Carolina did a week before, so there was time to get to the quarterback, right? So I think that's part of it. I do think there was probably a more conscious effort to rush the pass a little bit more too. We heard all last week from, you know, the players and coaches, like, you know, the defensive line wasn't happy. They wanted more sacks, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they got it, right? 5 sacks, 10 TFLs. They were able to generate pressure. You mentioned all the guys that got sacks, but the one name that's kind of flown under the radar, not only on Saturday, but the last couple of weeks, has been Kenneth Grant, backup defensive tackle. I really think he's starting to earn his keep now, and it would not shock me if you see him get more snaps here in the coming weeks. He's really emerged in the middle, in the interior. We heard all offseason, right, that they wanted more pass rush from the inside guys. You mentioned Chris Jenkins, he got half a sack. couple TFLs and then Grant too. So I think they're starting to see what they want. They're starting to get what they want out of the defensive line. But again, we also have to consider the competition, right? This Michigan team is going to 9 times out of 10 oversize these non-conference opponents, these smaller schools. So you have the size and strength advantage in general to begin with. But it was a nice next step. It was a nice bounce back effort from a week one where, you know, you just didn't see a ton of that from the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, for Tennant Grant to be moving how he is at 6'3", 339 pounds, I mean, he is a massive human being, as we saw after the game at the post-game press conference. I mean, he can fill some gaps, and, I mean, he's what you want out of a true nose tackle. I think we're starting to see him emerge, and, I mean, like everyone else, got to wait a few more weeks until you're facing more bigger and more effective offensive lines, but again, yeah, he's been, to me, the most impressive defensive lineman through two games.
How about the secondary? Because there were guys that were banged up that did not play in the opener. Who was back out there in week two? Who wasn't? And, yeah, what's the outlook going forward?
Yeah, Michigan was without Makari Page and Rod Moore again. Pair of safeties, they were, they were questionable kind of going in. We had heard they returned to practice. So we didn't know if we were going to see them. Michigan ultimately decided to hold them out. I would not be surprised that you see them. They play next week. I think they got to get going for the Big Ten season. I got to get them some reps. Will Johnson played briefly, didn't play a ton, came out of the game again. So Michigan's been kind of rolling with really like reserves in the defensive backfield. You know, they've obviously worked Josh Wallison at corner. Mikey Sanders was played a bunch there at nickel and corner too. But they've been playing a lot of younger guys. And I think given the competition and how Michigan's been able to open up leads early in these games, it's really proven to be valuable for some of these guys that some of them haven't played a ton. So I think it's good for you know, just growth and depth and everything else. But, you know, I said this last week after the week one win, but I really think, especially for the secondary, it holds true. This has kind of been a best case scenario situation, right? You get big leads early. There hasn't been much of a competition. You're able to get some of these younger guys more snaps and more playing time, something you maybe normally wouldn't do.
Yeah, I mean, only 8 snaps for Will Johnson. And when he didn't start the game, you're wondering, all right, are they going to hold him out for another game as well? But he ended up getting in there for a little bit. But, yeah, I don't think there's any point in if guys aren't 100% or close to 100%, why risk it for games like this? And you're starting to see some depth emerge. No huge big plays against, again, for the secondary. So, I mean, you're getting the young guys some playing time. And when they're playing pretty well, almost posted another shutout, and yeah, like that could be important come the end of the year.
While we're on the topic of the injuries, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, part of me wonders if this is a conscious effort from the coaching staff to hold like a Rod Moore out, like a Makari Page out, choose to limit Will Johnson, right? Because like, if you're a player, if you're like Rod Moore and you've been cleared to play because you're practicing, wouldn't you want to play? You know, you spend all offseason practicing and getting conditioning, and you only play in 12 games. You're only guaranteed 12 games at least a season. Like, wouldn't you want to play? But then I think about it, right? The coaches, I think, are thinking long term. You know, they saw what happened in Dominic Edwards and Blake Corum with the injury perspective. So I don't know. I think this is a new. I'd be curious to hear Jim Harbaugh's response, but I think he's really come around on this. If you would have asked him at the beginning of his tenure at Michigan, 2015, 2016, I think he would prefer guys playing, even if you're banged up, even if you're injured, playing as much as you can. But they've really made an effort these last couple of years to use a non-conference schedule. It's kind of tune-up time, right? Guys are banged up, hold them out. Play the younger guys. Get their feet wet. And then there's a transfer portal too. But anyway, it's just an interesting topic, right? Like, guys aren't necessarily playing all 12 games anymore.
It is. It's a tricky balance. I mean, I'm not sure Coach would ever fully admit, like, oh, yeah, if we were playing Ohio State, he would have played. But, you know, we knew we were going to roll without him. But I also think, yeah, guys want to play. Like, I think if they're out, there is a reason. I mean, I think it means that they're not fully ready. Now, does it mean they would have played maybe against a different opponent if all the other circumstances were the same? Maybe. But I don't think it's just like, we're just being super, super, super careful. It probably means there is something a little wrong. Now, Will Johnson, like Ryan said, is interesting because he played but then didn't start. Like, he's clearly one of the better, the best option there. So you'd think if he was good to go, he would have started. But, yeah, I mean, easing him back, I guess, after missing some time.
I don't know about you guys too. I mean, Aaron mentioned about not playing every game, but like when you're playing three cupcakes, like it makes more sense to keep guys out, play a tougher schedule, and make guys want to play and get more games. I mean, it's hard. I'm watching like Texas and Alabama having it on in the background when I'm writing after the game on Saturday. It's like, man, like this is fun. This is fun. Like these players, I'm sure, love to play in these games. And then you're scheduling UNLVs and East Carolinas and Hawaii's and UConn's and like, yeah, Michigan plays Texas next year. But like, come on, man. Like every year you should have one true non-conference test. And Michigan just hasn't had that.
Not a couple of years, right? They used to. And then they decided to, you know, that's a problem with the playoff too, right? Teams are so leery of getting one loss early that it jeopardizes their chance to get in. And we've discussed this in the past, but I do think it's going to open up some once it goes to 12 team series. Obviously you have more chances to get in, and as we all know, as of right now at least, Texas is on the schedule for next year.
Yes, I mean, as we've discussed, it was about they won a certain number of home games, and they didn't want to lose it, miss out on that number, so they had to cancel the home and home with UCLA to avoid being under that number they want to hit, in one of those years, which was unfortunate. But yes, you're certainly preaching to the choir here, Zook. Next week again, it's nothing. Folks are going to get too excited about. It's Bowling Green. It is at night, prime time, 7:30 on Big Ten Network. So we'll get kind of the debut of the new lights and how the new scoreboard works in conjunction with those lights. I'm sure it'll be all very fancy and. You know, we'll see how that goes, how the game presentation is, so to speak.
Over under five times, I mentioned like, oh wow, it looks like lightning whenever time they change the graphics on the scoreboard because it's so darn bright.
Yeah, you were saying that in a 3:30 game. Yeah, I absolutely true night game. You'll be fooled often, I would imagine. But yeah, we'll have coverage on MLive.com/Wolverines throughout the week leading up to that game. Coverage of Jim Harbaugh's press conference on Monday as he gives, we hear his thoughts on the game for the first time, and more throughout the week. Thanks for listening.